you know, my first impulse is to get up here and start calling names and to mention all these lovely ladies that I am so glad to see you here. It means so much to me to have you come to my class. And I hope that we'll be able to say something today that will make you go away feeling better and feeling closer to the Lord. When Brother Wendell called or wrote Basil and asked that Basil and I come, I was elated. I felt this was a great opportunity to be with my Christian sisters. I always enjoy being with my Christian sisters wherever I'm called to go. But I thought, as Amy was talking about my being able to organize chapters of IBC Women, I thought, well, this what an opportunity. But that would not be expedient, would it? Because you all work for Alabama Christian or Faulkner University, it is. So I decided I better let that ride. But I do enjoy working with women. Women are just so wonderful. And they have so much talent. But even with all the talent I do see displayed, I know some women that do not use their talents. And we know, ladies, the Bible teaches if we do not use our talents, then we will lose them. But if we use them, then God will give us more talent. But anyways, as I said, I'm glad to be with you, and I hope and pray that we will say something that will help you today. The overall theme, as you know, is blessed assurance, and I think that is wonderful, and we need to think of this more. But my topic is more than conquerors over insecurity and loneliness. And as I thought on that, I thought, that's a wonderful topic. And any time you're asked to speak to a ladies' lectureship or a ladies' day program, they'll assign you a topic. At first, you'll think, well, what in the world will I do with that? You just think, well, that is so far out, I won't know what to do with that. But this was a topic that I did not feel that way about, because even though I feel that I have not felt a lot of insecurity as a child, I was very secure. I had the best parents in the world, or some of the best parents. My mother and daddy got along so well. You never heard any fussing or bickering or loud talk in our home. And I have two sisters, and we were not allowed to fuss and bicker. So I knew security when I was home. My father was a wonderful Christian man, and my mother was a sweet, meek Christian lady. And she did a lot of things to make me feel so secure. She always let me know that she loved me. She made me feel that I could do anything. And, you know, really, we can do most anything we set our minds to do, can we not? But we did not have a lot of this world's goods. We would be classified, I'm sure, as poor. But we had a nice home and plenty to eat, and my mother was an excellent seamstress. She made us the cutest little dresses out of. I used to think my mother could take a yard of material and make a full skirt. You know, she always knew how to be so saving with everything. So Manon will vouch for this. She knows that I grew up in a very stable Christian home. My father was an elder. My father died in 49 at a very early age. He was only 57. But when he died, I thought he was an old man. You know, when you're young, you look at somebody that age as being old. But when he died, I was just thinking about loneliness. Now, I have, as I said, I've never felt a lot of insecurity, but I have had some lonely hours. But I have not dwelt on my loneliness. We cannot afford to do this, ladies. But before my dad died, the night that he was on his deathbed, there was a mockingbird that sang all night outside the window. I mean all night. And he died the next morning at 11 o'clock. Well, after his death, I stayed with my mother for a couple of weeks because Basil was away in a meeting. And you can recall that meetings used to last 2 or 3 weeks. But when Basil came to see my father, as he was going to the meeting, my father said, Basil, if the end comes from me, don't come home because you can't do me any good and you might save a soul. Now, wasn't that a good attitude? So when Dad died, I did not call Basil. I thought, I will wait. I'll write him a letter. Then when he gets the letter, he'll know, well, there's no point in going because, you know, he's already buried by now. But then after my father was buried and I stayed with my mother, Of course, we had a 2-year-old son at this time. And the first night, after, you know, everyone had gone, and I was there with my mother, there was a mockingbird that sang, the same mockingbird, I'm sure, sang outside my window all night. Well, at least when I was awake, I would hear that bird, and I was so lonely. But then I see I had my 2-year-old and my mother. I was there to comfort my mother, so I would not dwell on my loneliness. So, ladies, we have all had our moments of loneliness. And it's not, you know, it's all right to be lonely at times, but you don't need to dwell on being lonely. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Once you get to feeling sorry for yourself, then you're really defeated. But look around. Look around for others that you can help and encourage. Of course, if you heard my husband yesterday, I did not know if I could sit and listen to that or not, and I could not have several years ago. I was telling someone yesterday after they were complimenting Basil's lesson, I thought he did so well. But I said, now, 3 years, it was I think 3 or 4 years after Timothy had died, I was asked to speak on that topic, and I was foolish to try it. But I've always thought, well, if you're asked to do something, then do the best you can. And I tried, and I did speak on that subject, but I tell you, I was so crushed inside, you know, trying not to cry. And when I got through speaking, I went to the restroom, and I cried like a baby. You know, I had just choked and choked all the time I was speaking, so I had to go and get this relief that I needed. But even the sadness of losing a son, and see, this is some of my lonely times. I felt very lonely. The time that they called from Nashville, or this friend of Timothy's called, to tell us that Timothy had died, you'll never know the lonely moment I felt, because I thought, if I could only be in Nashville, because he died suddenly. And we had come home from Mars Hill. Basil had spoken at Mars Hill. We got home, and just as we got to the door, the phone was ringing. Basil rushed inside, and when he answered the phone, I thought, something bad has happened to Timothy. But see, this was when ice and snow was all over Nashville, and I thought, he's had a bad car wreck. But then when I heard my husband say, "You mean he's dead?" Well, those words ring in my ears. They always will. But ladies, do you think I could sit down and feel sorry for myself on and on? True, you have your lonely moments, but you've got to get up and keep going. And I thank Alma Biggs. Many of you know Alma Biggs, I'm sure. But Alma was to go to a ladies' lectureship in Malden, Missouri. And she had invited me to go along. Now, Timothy died in January. This was February. She wanted me to go along, and I told her I would go. And then I got sick. I thought I got sick. I really was not. But I was feeling sorry for me. I could have just gone in and closed the door and forgot about everybody else, but, you know, just wallow in my heartache. But I got to thinking, I've got to call Alma and tell her I can't go because I'm sick. So we were to leave on Friday because she used to be there for Saturday. Kept thinking, I've got to call her because I don't feel well. Well, about Wednesday, she calls me and was talking about going. I said, Alma, I've been meaning to call you and tell you I can't go because I'm sick. And she said, you've got to go. And I said, I can't go because I'm sick. She said, you have got to go. And I said, get someone else to go with you. She said, I don't want anybody else to go. I want you. Well, while I was talking to her, she said, you know, I think you feel better already, don't you? See, she talked me out of this, and I decided, while I was talking to her, I would go with her. I got myself dressed on Thursday, and I went to the beauty shop and got my hair fixed and got myself ready and went with her. And I look back over that, and I know, you know, if it had not been for Alma, I don't know how long it would have taken me to get to feeling better. So what I'm trying to put across to you, when you have these down, low, sorrowful moments, just don't sit and feel sorry for yourself. Look around for others that you can help. And I know that this has helped me more than anything, because I know now how that I can empathize with others. And when Basil and I hear of someone that's had the misfortune of losing a child, we just feel like we have got to get to that couple, because we can help them. We know that with God's help, you can endure this. But see, as far as, as I said a while ago, as far as insecurity, see, after my home life, which was great. And then I married Basil, and Basil is one of the finest men in the world. Now, some of you would say my husband is one of the finest. True, we have a lot of one of the finest. But I am very fortunate to have been married to such a fine man, one that I have so much trust and confidence in. I never have to worry. When Basil's away from home, and he has been away many times, in 1 week or 2 weeks meetings, and I'd stay home with the children, I never worried about what Basil was doing. I knew he was out there doing right and trying to save the lost. And who can get lonely at home with four children? See, so I didn't have time to really get lonesome. Timothy was born 2 years after we were married, and then Gaius came along three years later. And then we waited 7 years and had this darling little daughter that I had really prayed for. And I tell Tessa, I said, honey, of course, all my children, I feel, are gifts from God. But I especially prayed that God would give me a little girl. After having the two boys, I really wanted a little girl. So Tessa came along, and I says, honey, you are the answer to a prayer. And then God gave us another daughter. We got Gretchen by adoption. And you think that this is not something God puts in your arms. She was 3 days old when we got her. This woman came to my house. She attended church where Basil preached. And this girl was living with her. And when the baby was born, so the people that had planned to adopt it decided not to. She came to me not knowing what they would do with this child. And Basil and I talked it over, and we said, let's take her if we can get her. So I just felt like God put another little girl in our arms. And I am so thankful for Gretchen. She's meant so much to us. She has two darling children now. And we love them. We love her just as much as we do any of our other children. She is ours, and we just are so thankful for her. But enough about my family. I want to just help us to think about things we can do to help those who are lonely. I have found that one thing that I enjoy so very much is inviting my Wudda friends into lunch. Now, I know that some Wuddas are very lonely. Others are very busy. But I enjoy having my Wudda friends into lunch. And I also enjoy, my husband and I grow roses. I love roses. And we enjoy growing roses to take to our friends in the nursing home or the sick and shut in. And I was this sweet little lady that I visited so often in the nursing home, I would take her roses because I knew she loved roses. One day, as I was taking her roses, another lady was sitting in her door, and it seemed that when I would go to visit this lady with my beautiful roses, this little lady would be sitting in her doorway. And she'd say, those roses are so pretty. I got to thinking, well, this is cruel of me. I got to bring her roses, too. So first thing you know, you just need to gather roses for a lot of different people. But I'm sure all of us know people who are in the nursing homes. Now, they are lonely because some of them in the nursing home, they do not have people even. Some of them don't have any people, and some of them have people that do not visit like they should. This one lady that I visit often, I love her so much. But I really feel a little depressed after I visited with her. And some of my friends don't like to visit the nursing home because they say it makes them feel so depressed. True, it does. But then you think about how you're helping that person. We need to get out of ourselves and quit feeling about what this does to me, but think, what am I doing to help that person? But this lady will follow me to my car talking. She just hates to see me go. And this bothers me. So before too long, I plan to have a luncheon and go get her and have her in my home. This will help me as much as it helps her because I'll know I'm doing something for someone else. But most of us would admit to being lonely occasionally. But those of us who are busy do not need to remain lonely. 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, at my first defense, no one took my part, or no one stood with me. And then in verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. So we know that the Lord is always by our side, and he will strengthen us. And, you know, Jesus even felt some lonely times. Think how lonely he must have been when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took with him Peter, James, and John. You know, we all need our close friends around, especially at these lonely moments. So Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. But he told them to wait here while I go yonder and pray. He did this three times, you remember. He'd come back and they would be asleep. But he, you know, I thought he must have felt so lonely while he was over there praying, asking God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So Jesus understands our feelings. He knows when we're lonely, and he understands, and he will help us. So we need to keep this in mind, that Jesus knows and Jesus cares. That, ladies, will give us a little push that we need. It reminded me of the stalled car. This old car just stalled right in the middle of the road. And as you would know, all these cars lined up behind, and they started beeping their horns and yelling things at this pretty embarrassed man. He tried to get his car going, and he couldn't get it going. And they were yelling and fussing at him. And finally, they just pulled around and go on and leave the man there in the stalled car. Finally, this one nice, good Samaritan came along and backed up behind, bumper to bumper, and gave the old car a push. Finally, it started moving of its own power. So this is what we need to keep in mind. When we see somebody all stalled, ankle deep, in their misery and sorrow and heartache, we need to stop and give them that little push that they need. Sometimes it just takes you stopping and letting somebody know that you really do care. It reminds me of the time when I was visiting my son and wife in Chicago. And you know, before I went up there, my husband had told me, now you don't get out on the street by yourself because, you know, all these bad things are going to happen. Well, while I was up there, it was the most beautiful weather. I thought Chicago weather would be terrible, but it was so beautiful and sunny. It was in the fall. So I would take my little grandson out for a stroll. He was about one at this time. And one day as I was strolling along, this elderly lady came out of her apartment complex. Just as I got even with her place, she walks out, and I says, "Good morning, how are you?" And she looked a little surprised, but she spoke and smiled, and do you know, we walked for blocks together. She wanted to talk. She was lonely. My first thought was, oh, she's going to slow me down. You know, I needed to walk briskly. I was getting my exercise. And then I thought, well, how selfish can you be? She needs to talk to someone. And I really enjoyed my visit with her. So people will be friendly, and they will talk with you if you'll give them a chance. So take time to visit with others. And looking over these things and trying to find out what I could say today, I ran across this that I thought might help us. This is something that John A. Mays, and I don't know Brother Mays, but the things he has in this article I feel are very good. He says these are some things that can help us deal with loneliness. He said, first, we must recognize the problem, and we must desire to overcome it. You know, when you go to a doctor, he has to diagnose your problem and help give you medication or to help you overcome this problem. I was waiting to get in to see my doctor not too long ago for my yearly physical, and, they bring you in and they weigh you and you think, oh goody, it's not going to be long till I'm going to get to see my doctor. You sit there for maybe an hour. You keep waiting and waiting and waiting. You all know the feeling. But anyway, as I was sitting there waiting, finally the doctor's office door opened and I heard him say to this little lady, said, you keep taking the medication and you'll be all right. She said, but doctor, I feel so tired all the time. And I just thought, I bet he gets so tired hearing that remark. When I went in, I laughed and says, I bet you get tired hearing remarks like that. And he says, well, I really, yes. He said, it's sad. But he said, people are so lonely. They're depressed. And he said, there's really not anything I can do about that. I try to encourage them, but he says, they've got to want to help themselves. So we need to keep this in mind. We need to want to help ourselves. So number two, he says, to be alone is not always bad and does not necessarily mean that one must be lonely. You know, I enjoy being alone sometimes because when you're busy with people all the time, going places, doing things, having people over. I love to have people in my home. But there are times you just need to have a quiet time to sit down and have time to think and to pray and to read and meditate. So when you have a quiet moment, don't think I'm so lonesome. Just get you a good book or listen to some good music, and the time will pass. Don't feel sorry for yourself. And number three, he says, fill life with something that is useful, productive, and helpful. Think about things that you can do for others. And he lists, you know, if you're going to be fulfilled, you need to think on good things. And I won't get on my thing about these soap operas, because if I did, I'd spend the rest of the time. But I do think that's a waste of time. I will throw that in. But Paul says in Philippians 4:8, says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when we fill our minds with good thoughts and good things, we're not going to feel lonely very long. And number four, he lists, make friends. You know, some people build walls instead of bridges. Don't build a wall around you. You've got to be friendly. You must show yourself friendly if you want others to be your friend. So be friendly. In Proverbs 18:24, says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, meaning our Lord. And do not make friends for selfish motives. Don't make a friend thinking what you can mean to me. Of course, friends will mean a lot to me, and I wouldn't take the world for my friends. I just feel like I have so many friends, and everyone is precious to me. But I don't want to use my friends. I don't want them to be my friends just for what I can get out of them. I want to be a friend so I can help them. I hope that will always be my motive. And then he says, remember, some burdens must be borne alone. You know, in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. We are to help to bear one another's burdens. Whenever we can, we must be willing to help a sister or brother bear a burden, or someone that's not a brother or sister. We must be willing to help whomever we can. But then he also says in the next verse, you must bear your own burdens. There are some things you have to bear yourself. So in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. This will help us bear our burden. And number six, he lists, remember that one is never alone when it comes to having problems or difficulties. Everybody has their problems. You may think nobody has problems like I do. Nobody understands me. Why did this happen to me? Then you must stop and think, everybody has burdens to bear. If you have not had burdens, you better fortify yourself, because you will someday have burdens to bear. So I would suggest, fill your heart with this. Study it and meditate on it daily. So when the rains come and the storms come, your house will be on a rock and you'll be able to stand. We don't want to build on the sand, do we? Because if we do, we'll be torn asunder. That's the reason. Some problems help some people to grow spiritually. The same problem might knock someone else out because they haven't fortified themselves with God's Word. And number seven, he says, do not acquire the attitude of self-pity. We've already talked about that. You cannot feel sorry for yourself. If you do, then you're sunk. Don't wallow in self-pity. Do not dwell on the past too much. You know, it's good to remember good things. And we all have things that we must remember. Isn't the mind wonderful? There are little things in your mind. You know, it's the best computer in the world. You hear things, and you're storing that up, and you forget that you're doing this. You don't know that you're doing it, but then later, that will just jump out, you know. So this computer is wonderful, and it's good to remember. But we don't want to dwell on the past so much that we can't press on to the future. Because Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward toward the hope of the Lord in Christ Jesus. So you remember that there are three divisions of time. There's yesterday, and there's today, and there's tomorrow. Yesterday has passed. God took that away. And we may not have tomorrow. None of us know if we'll have tomorrow. But we do have today. So that's not what we need to concentrate on. Every morning when you arise, just be thankful that you have another day and use that day to glorify God. And then he lists, never give up and lose the will to live. Some do lose the will to live. I have known people that have lost a will to live and they have given up. But it just takes a friend sometimes to come by and let that person know that I really do care. And this gives them the will to live. So you be the person that will go to someone and help them to want to live and enjoy life. Remember that Philippians 4:13 teaches, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think Christians need to keep that in mind. With God's help and God on our side, we are never alone. God has promised that He will be with us. Do we really believe it? I know that's true. And I want to tell you, girls, with every heartache and every hurdle that I've climbed over, I know and I can truthfully say that I am a stronger, better person for having gotten over this heartache and hurdle. So when heartaches or loneliness comes your way, don't feel, oh, poor me. Just use this to help you to grow spiritually. Because it will if you'll use it in the right way. So we all need to look back only to give thanks for past blessings. There's not a one in this room, if we start counting our blessings, why, we could just chalk up a wall full, couldn't we? They far outweigh the heartaches. And we need to look up and give thanks to God. He's the giver of everything. And we need to look around for people to serve. If you really want to be great, there's one way, and there's just one way to be great. Money won't make you great. Fame won't make you great. There's just one thing that'll make you great, and that's to be of service. Because that's what the Bible teaches. He that would be great among you, let him be servant of all. So look around for people to serve. And another thing he lists is do not worry. Are you a worrier? It's so easy to fall into the rut of worrying. A lot of people worry and worry and worry about things that are going to happen that might not even happen. So try to be optimistic and try to look on the bright side. I know, we know that things can't always be on a high. You know, everything can't be rosy. We're all going to have our lows. But if we're optimistic and look at it in the right way, we won't dwell on this and it won't get us down. Then he says, examine self to see if you have the right to be accepted. You know, sometimes we say, poor me. Nobody likes me. Nobody will visit me. And it just might be that I'm the type of person that just keeps people at arm's length. And I don't use the friendliness that I should use to draw them to me. So instead of feeling poor me, you reach out to others. In church, if you see someone that looks lonely, you hasten to that person and you speak to that person. Because usually people like that need friends more than anyone. I have known some people that you can hardly stand. They're just so irritable, and you say things to them, they just seem to, as we say, cut your head off or bite your head off. But that's the person that needs someone to be a friend to them. So you go out of your way to be a friend to that person. There was this one lady in a congregation where my husband was preaching that complained to her mother-in-law that I don't like to go to church there because nobody's friendly with me. Nobody will speak to me. So this mother-in-law was telling me about it, and I thought, well, next time she's there, somebody will speak to her. Well, do you know where I managed to speak to her? Outside of the building. As soon as amen was said, out the door she goes. And I just went right out the door, and I talked to her outside. But see, that was the reason nobody was friendly with her. So sometimes when we think no one is friendly, it might be our own fault. So we need to check up on this and make sure it's not our own fault. And then he lists, use afflictions and sorrow to your best advantage. And David said in Psalms 119 and 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. As I said a while ago, you can use these afflictions and these heartaches to be stepping stones. And then he says, obey God and receive forgiveness of sins, which I'm sure I feel confident that most of us in this room are Christians. But sometimes we as Christians don't live as best we can, and we still have guilt feelings because we know that deep down we know we're not doing exactly what we should do. And this can cause us to feel unaccepted. And then, before my time gets away, I wanted to list some things that we might do to help us. And these things were from a professional counselor, these ideas. He said the first thing we need to do, we need to accept self. Understanding yourself is the beginning to understand your loneliness. The streets of the world are teeming with men and women who mutilate themselves spiritually and mentally in self-criticism and self-degradation. Many people go through life committing partial suicide, destroying their talents, their energies, creative qualities, and their potential selves. They view themselves as inferior, inadequate, and incapable of loving. When one is a stranger to oneself, one is estranged to others. If a person is out of touch with himself, then he can't touch others. A healthy sense of self-respect is the first step toward dealing with loneliness. And I'm going to have to cut off some of these short. Become responsible for your choices. He says you can't choose, you know, whether you're going to keep your job or whether you're going to stay well, or there's some things you have no say in. These things just happen to you. But he stresses, do the best you can with whatever comes your way. And learn to communicate effectively. I notice this is a fault that we have. I don't know what you think about this, but I notice in talking with people, we don't communicate too well. You can be talking with someone and you know that person is not listening very well to what you're saying. You can tell by the expression on the face. They're thinking what they're going to say. When you're talking to someone or someone is talking with you, you look that person in the eye and you listen. That'll make them feel a lot better. Then you know that person really cares because that person listens to me. So we need to learn to communicate better. And we need to assume the responsibility for loving, he says. And this is great. If we're going to have people love us, we're going to have to love others. And then the last thing he suggests, and we know this is true, we've got to trust God. And part of the tragedy of modern man is that he feels alienated from God. This is the deepest kind of loneliness. And there's no man-made antidote that can cure this loneliness. You have to do this yourself. If you really trust God, it's kind of like the man that was walking the tightrope. You've probably heard this illustration. And he walked across this tightrope, and he did it real well. And then he said, how many of you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across here? And all the hands went up. Yes, he could do that. And so he did. He pushed the wheelbarrow across. And then he says, how many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across with someone in it? Hands went up. Said, who will be the one to get in the wheelbarrow? Nobody would get in the wheelbarrow. And I wonder, is this the way we feel about God? We trust God, but are we willing to get in the wheelbarrow? And I thought, in closing, I want to talk about Psalms 23. You think of this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And on, you know it well. But I thought, how wonderful, what wonderful trust. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to feel alone, do I? The Lord is by my side. What security. Can you think of any better security than having the Lord on your side? In John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise. And what happiness. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Psalms 15:13-5. Know you the Lord that he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalms 100:3. And then you think, what peace. Can you think of any better peace than knowing you have God? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:38. Then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's Philippians 4:6-7. Then what strength? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Psalms 28:7. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and shall not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Then you think, what guidance. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Psalms 119:105. What assurance. Wherefore he is able almost to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Then you think of what victory. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then what gladness. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in it and be glad. We need to be thankful for every day. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. It's such a good life to be a Christian. There's nothing. I cannot think of any better comfort or consolation than knowing that I have the Lord on my side. And he has promised, if I serve him to the very best of my ability, that he will be with me always. I want to impose upon you just a minute to read this little poem that I wrote. I'm not a poet, as you will know after I get through with this. It says, what am I doing? We buy a nice home so plush and beautiful to the eye, then furnish him with the finest furniture that money can buy. We fill our garages with a boat, a car or two. I ask in all sincerity, Lord, what am I giving to you? I say to myself, I must tend to my needs. Could it not be that I'm satisfying my greeds? Do I need all the fine clothes that I say that I do? I ask honestly, Lord, what am I giving to you? We're blessed abundantly with the finest of food each day. May we share with others and do so without delay. Help us to give of time and money to be among the faithful few. This serious thought I must ponder. Lord, what am I giving to you? And I want to mention this, ladies, and then I will let you go. This is a little tract that a widow friend of mine gave. She gave this speech at a widow's appreciation dinner that IBC Women sponsored there in Florence. And we thought it was so good, and we felt so many widows would profit from this, that she and my husband had this printed, and neither of them want any money from the sale of this. But what we're doing, I don't know if you're familiar with the World Evangelist or not. I know several of you in this room are. But this paper goes all over the world and overseas. The people, many of the people are not able to order the World Evangelist, but basically gets letters all the time begging, and I mean begging for this paper. And they read over there, they'll read anything they can get their hands on. We're careless here. We don't always take advantage of what we have. But they read everything. So what they're doing These sell for 50 cents each, and the profit from this will go to sending papers overseas. So I just thought, and this would be good to give to a Wood Friend. It has a lot of good ideas in it. So if you'd be interested in purchasing, so you can get two for a dollar. So if you'd be interested in getting some of these, we would appreciate it. And we would use the money to send papers overseas. So you'll be helping a good cause, and you can give it to someone, and you'll be helping that way too. I appreciate being with you today, ladies. It's been a joy on my part. God bless you.